I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you haven't yet voted for our Man Crush Monday, you can do that. I bring it up because we had a couple pretty incredible candidates, or multiple incredible candidates, but one in particular that will never, and let me underscore that, never appear again in a Man Crush Monday poll. So it's still available on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page, and we'll reveal your choice coming up before the bottom of the hour. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Millions of Americans finance the homes of their dreams with their help, and they can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. We talked about this a little bit last night, how quiet it is around the NFL, even though free agency is set to begin in full force in a couple of weeks. And even now, teams are able to talk to their own players, their own free agents-to-be. I heard there was a report that the Patriots are planning to meet with Tom Brady's agent over the course of the combine. So the combine is really, for the second time in a month, it's a convention for business to get done in the football world. The Super Bowl is like that, and they do some business. They've got the Hall of Fame announcements. You know, they had players and owners meeting even in advance of a vote about the WNBA. Oh my gosh, I don't even know where that came from. My brain is a mush. In advance of the CBA, see, it had a BA in it. In advance of the collective bargaining agreement and the idea that, you know, they're trying to get their ducks in a row so they could force this vote before the new year started. But because of that, some of the other business has been put on the back burner. And so it's relatively quiet now, when normally there is a buzz of activity. And we'll see how much comes out of Combine Week, because now it stretches out to a full week. We'll see how much business is actually done in terms of personnel, in terms of, you know, potential trades and deals. Right now, even though you've got team officials answering questions, there's this quiet because everybody's wondering which labor deal they'll be operating under. Will it be the current one that actually doesn't expire until 2021, so over a year from now? Or will it be a brand new one, which of course is the NFL's hope? And if it brings more money and some concessions for the Players Association, they'll take it too, but they, you can tell, are more cautious, you know, what they're looking for, what they want. They don't want to lock themselves in for the next 10 years if it's not something they can live with, because they've spent the last 10 years kind of banging their heads about certain stipulations of this collective bargaining agreement, knowing that they had to wait until it was time to renegotiate a new deal and renegotiate new terms. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. The Dallas Cowboys, they are hoping still that Dak Prescott is under contract and not just under a franchise tag. Now, the deadline for franchise tags has already been pushed back. Again, a product of what's happening, you know, in their business dealings as they're trying to get the CBA done. But it was interesting to hear what Stephen Jones had to say about where they stand with both their quarterback as well as with Amari Cooper, who's another very high-profile free agent for the Dallas Cowboys.
It sounds like the last time these two sides got together and had any meaningful conversations were back in September. So that's roughly 4 months since they've had a discussion. In fact, he was asked about the activity levels in terms of dialogue between these two. And he used the word low and then followed it up with none really at all. So non-existent was the word, in fact, that he used. The one thing that he did point out, though, is, and you heard him say it, this thing has not gotten acrimonious. In fact, he was even asked, if this thing goes sour, do you see yourselves going in a different direction? He said, no. Dak is our guy. Dak wants to be here. But the one thing that has muddled this thing a little bit is this new CBA. With a big contract like this, the CBA, of course, is going to have an impact on that. Now, I did also ask him about Amari Cooper. He said that he talked to Cooper and his agent at the Super Bowl. I asked him to characterize that conversation. He said, quote, very upbeat. But he said he hasn't gotten into the details with any of his players about their contract, again, because of that new CBA. They just want to see where things shake out. Now, as for Dak and his agent, Todd France, who's here this week, he said they don't have a meeting on the books yet, but they'd hope that maybe they can get together and chat this week. As he pointed out, look, you just need a little momentum and traction. They got this thing done with Ezekiel Elliott and, of course, DeMarcus Lawrence. They can get these things done in a matter of 36 hours. And on that franchise tag, as it applies to Dak and Amari, he said he knows that players don't necessarily love these things, but the Cowboys aren't opposed to using them if they can't find a way to come to an agreement on these contracts.
NFL Network's Jane Slater from Indianapolis after Stephen Jones held a Q&A session with reporters. So she mentions he and him a couple of times, referring to what he had to say about negotiations with Dak and negotiations with Amari and the last time he spoke to their respective agents. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Stephen Jones went on to say there's nothing scheduled. There are no talks scheduled with Dak's agent, but they're hoping that they cross paths with him sometime during the combine. And I think it's worth noting as well that Stephen Jones said there's no scenario in which they move on from Dak Prescott before the upcoming season. So that's not happening. That question at least has been answered. And I know there were some rumors about how Tom Brady would be a fit there. And could you imagine Tom Brady with the Dallas Cowboys?
Oh, yes.
But, and I mean, Stephen Jones, you can certainly find the audio out there. He did a big Q&A from Indianapolis. In fact, a lot of NFL executives did. Owners were there speaking. Execs were there speaking. I saw some conversation about this pass interference rule for Mark Murphy of the Green Bay Packers, which I'll get to here in a second. But Stephen Jones says, Dak's our quarterback. He's our quarterback for the future, and we have nothing but the greatest respect for him. So they're not thinking about moving on, nothing at all that would lead you to believe this is going to go any other way except for franchise tag or new deal before next season, though the two sides haven't spoken since September. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So when I was at the preseason game that I attended at Lambeau Field, not this past August, but the year before, I had a chance to run into Mark Murphy. And it was kind of fun because he said, I need you to talk so that I can tell whether or not it's your real voice on the radio. Yes, it is. This is the only voice I've got. Anyway, he is part of the competition committee. And I wrote about this in my last column before I hung up the cleats for the offseason. The competition committee definitely needs to address the changes that they tried to implement with the pass interference calls and reviewing pass interference. Here's the latest, according to Mark Murphy. He admits the results were not great. Chris, if we can find that audio, that I'm sure that's fantastic. Overall, the results were not great. And he actually said he believes that the changes they made to the rule, the pass interference rule, that they are putting the brain trust, in this case, Al Riveron, in a really difficult position. Now, he claims it's still pretty early on for this rule, the life of this rule. I disagree. It was supposed to be a one-year trial basis, and they would reevaluate. I think it's pretty obvious that the rule had zero impact, and all it did was create more consternation. But after 2 days, so they've met already for a couple of days, the competition committee, they're not sure that they should keep the rule because they do have the option of getting rid of it. Again, it was a one-year experiment, and then they were going to reevaluate. They have the option of getting rid of it, or they can extend it. And yet, they don't really like it, and they're kind of skeptical about it, but they're not to the point where they're ready to dispatch it. I don't know what different options they might be looking at. It seems like a big fat failure to me. I don't know what more evidence you need to recognize that having someone who's not on site, in this case, Al Riveron, who is in New York at the officiating office, having someone who's not on site judge a judgment call that was made at a game miles away, in some cases thousands of miles away, someone who's looking at it in slow-mo, not in real time, but also having to potentially undercut the judgment call that was made by his own officials is just, it's not a good system. It's not a positive system. And by having that option there where both calls and non-calls can be challenged, it just opens the door to all kinds of other issues. So I thought it was dumb. I didn't think it was necessary. And I don't like the idea of judgment calls being reviewed somewhere else. I mean, there are times when officials, and this happens a lot in the NBA and college basketball, I see it all the time when I'm working games. There are times when they get together and they discuss it. And without the benefit of replay, this is something you see in baseball too, without looking at a monitor or replay, they'll decide, you know what? With five sets of eyeballs, four sets of eyeballs, we're going to change this call, or we're going to go with this call over this. And sometimes you've got two different officials who call two different things, and they're willing to confer and say, okay, I'm going to defer to you what you saw, your perspective, your angle. And I love that because they're human beings. And because in the heat of the moment, sometimes there are conflicting opinions about what happened. But as much as it's easy to point to the Nickell Robey-Coleman moment from the NFC Championship a year ago, as much as it's easy to point to that and say, that was so simple. And you're right, it was. 99% of the people watching thought it was pass interference. But most of the calls are not that cut and dried.
Don't get one.
Most of the calls, there is actually a debate about whether or not it was pass interference. I mean, I've said this for years. PI calls make me scrunch up my face. I don't quite get road rage over them. That's a completely different category. But pass interference, there's far too many of them anyway in the NFL. It's actually a strategy that quarterbacks and receivers use when they need to move the ball quickly and nothing else is working. So I'm not a big fan of it anyway. I still say that you should err on the side of the judgment of the guys who are there, especially if they can confer themselves and decide. But to go to review is an exercise in futility. It's a judgment call. Defer to the judgment of the people that you've put in place. So I don't like the whole thing anyway. But right now, the competition committee is not quite to the point where they're going to topple it over. Or here's a better metaphor. Fold it up, put it back in the box, and return it. We'd like a refund, please. That didn't work. It was a waste of money. Amazon's really good at that. Amazon Prime is really good at that. I don't know how I ever lived my life before Amazon Prime. No, I do, but I really have to think hard to remember. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. If you still want to vote for your Man Crush Monday, you can do that in these final few minutes, and we will reveal your choice coming up in the next few minutes. Thanks for joining us. If you're waking up on your Tuesday, good morning to you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Chicken and waffle dinner.
A swing and a drive. Away back. Gone.
That's nasty, stinky. Boom, baby.
His jaw-dropping heroics made us swoon this weekend. It's time for Man Crush Monday on After Hours.
Seconds left. Here's Clifford. Stopped by David Ayers. The Carolina Hurricanes surround him and defeat the Toronto Maple Leafs 6-3.
If you ever question if there are hockey gods, to the day on the 40th anniversary of the Miracle on Ice in Lake Placid in 1980, number 90 comes in and shuts the door.
It's a Canes miracle. It's an NHL legend here in Toronto. I'm sure that sweater goes to the Hall of Fame.
So to be able to get on the ice here in Toronto, all the fans, the guys on the other team are kind of looking at me. I make a save and they're kind of looking at me like, we're going to get you sort of thing. But it's unreal. Right now it's hard to put into words, to be honest.
Congratulations to David Ayers. Not only the stuff that dreams are made of in stepping onto the ice as an emergency goalie on Saturday night, but now your choice for Man Crush Monday. I feel like we should take this the whole way. Make him our player of the week. Although, wonder if Sabrina Ionescu would have any issue with that. She definitely could be our player of the week as well. But you voted Man Crush Monday, emergency goalie for the Carolina Hurricanes in Toronto, where he is a maintenance worker and the Zamboni driver for the Toronto Marlies, a minor league affiliate for who he has played at times, but also who he was wearing their helmet when he stepped on the ice. Let's take a look at the one who got it done. And this week it is this guy that you'd never heard of before Saturday. It's a stipulation in the NHL rules where there needs to be a warm body, essentially, an emergency goalie in case of this exact situation. Doesn't happen very often, every few years maybe, but both the Hurricanes goalies went down with injuries, and so they called on Ayers, whose own hockey career was cut short by a kidney transplant. His mom was his donor going back to 2004. And while he's done some dabbling and, you know, played a little minor league, but also, you know, would do some skills practices every now and then, you know, he recognized that his dreams of playing in the NHL were likely never going to happen until the Canes needed someone to step in between the pipes. He gave up 2 goals on his first 2 shots that he faced and then stopped the next 8, including one in the final seconds to get the win. David Ayers is the goalie of record and the number one star in Toronto, where he was playing for the other team. Really cool moment. If you haven't seen some of the videos, the excitement inside Toronto, make sure you check out our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. Get to know David Ayers. The Player of the Week, sponsored by Grainger, delivering the products that keep your facility running. It's what Grainger does best. They've been doing it for 90 years. Visit Grainger.com for whatever you need, whenever you need it. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. His 15 minutes of fame, well earned. Could you imagine how nervous he was? My goodness. His 15 minutes of fame carried him to the DA show on CBS Sports Radio on Monday, which is cool because, like Scott Foster a couple of years ago for the Chicago Blackhawks, his name is the answer to a trivia question, right? I mean, he's not ever going to be a professional athlete in any other capacity, and yet it's from the category of you can't make the stuff up. And it brings it home for those of us who are fans of the game, like David Ayers. He's a huge fan of the game of hockey.
Yeah, they give me a ticket and an all-access pass, and for the last 3 years, this is what I've been doing with these guys in Toronto. And I actually stand at the top of the rink in the same spot every time. So if I do get called down, I go down and just grab my gear, and I usually get half-dressed and sit there and watch the game.
So he watches the game like a fan. He just has to be ready in case they need him. But exactly how do you stay ready for a situation like that, especially when you're there game after game after game? David Ayers on the DA show on CBS Sports Radio. The emergency goalie rule in hockey allows for these guys, if they're called on, to earn $500, which would be a big deal to me, $500, and supposedly they get to keep the jersey. Those you heard on the call with the Hurricanes Radio Network, there was this idea potentially that that jersey slash sweater could end up in the Hockey Hall of Fame.
I've been with the Maple Leafs organization for 8 years now, and I've been basically a practice goalie for them for the last 8 years with the Toronto Marlies and the Toronto Maple Leafs. So they knew me really well, and they just wanted me to be the emergency goalie. So kind of stumbled into it.
And yet he was the emergency goalie for the Hurricanes, not for the Maple Leafs. I suppose if you're nitpicking at the story, that it would be perfection if he actually got to step in to a game as the Maple Leafs goalie, but who cares? Either way, he's still the goalie of record, and he still has this incredible story to tell. We'll just hear one more remark from him about how he was trying to get ready to get in the game.
They just wanted me to have fun. They knew that this wasn't my full-time job. I'm not the full-time goalie for them or any NHL team, but they know that I skate with Maple Leafs quite often, and they know that I can stop the puck. So they just said, come over here, let's get this thing going and stop the puck. Don't worry about what's going on. Don't worry about the crowd. Just we'll get out there, we'll score a couple goals, and then we'll get the win.
Not every time that it works out according to plan, the best laid plans, but this is pretty amazing. So if you wanted to hear that full conversation with DA on CBSSportsRadio.com, it is available. But David Ayers, not only an answer to a trivia question, but also your choice for Man Crush Monday. Lots of you voting. It was a landslide. So it was fairly tight on Twitter between he and Tyson Fury, but it was a landslide on our Facebook page. You were all about David Ayers having his moment in the sun, and I love it. I love that he's so good-natured about it, and I love that he had this moment when, you know, there's obvious disappointment when he couldn't continue his own career because of his physical challenges. Gosh, I know there are these moments outside of the world of sports, but because we're immersed in it, these are the ones that I read and share most often. There's no way it doesn't put a smile on your face if you hear it and you really kind of understand what was happening and how this guy just all of a sudden had to suit up and get out there. Go be an NHL goalie. Like right now? Like right now. Common man. Every man. David Ayers represents us. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. Thanks so much for all of your tweets. As I mentioned, your tweets about the Kobe Bryant Memorial and about Kobe and Gianna, they have encouraged me. It's not something that I wish we were talking about. And certainly having been a month since it happened, for the most part, the sports world has started to pick up speed again and move forward. And this kind of puts you right back in that place on that Sunday where we were just finding out, and the disbelief and the dejection and no way, no way, no way. But it was also closure. That's a word that comes to mind. It was also cathartic. It was healing. It was laughter, and it was tears, and it was sincere, and it was genuine. It was compassion. And it was also passion. I thought that was really neat, the way that Michael Jordan talked about the passion of Kobe Bryant. So I hope you had a chance to catch it. NBA TV is running a bunch of it, and I know ESPN has continued to share a lot of it on its programming overnight. It's taped, and they're just running it overnight, so you can catch it there, too. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Now he's got me. I'll have to look at another crime meme for the Knicks. I told my wife I wasn't going to do this because I didn't want to see that for the next 3 or 4 years.
One of those moments, and there were a few of them that brought the house down. It's Michael Jordan. Let his guard down. It's a side of Michael Jordan we do not see very often. But he let his guard down because he wanted to talk about his little brother. That's what he called him, Kobe Bryant, and their relationship and why Kobe was special to him and toward the end. And if you haven't seen it, even the pictures, and they're all over social media and all over the web. But if you haven't seen it, Michael Jordan was already crying before he walked up there to speak about Kobe. And the entire time he was standing on stage, his face was tear-streaked. I mean, there were others who were crying. Vanessa was up there, you know, with tissues, kind of dabbing her eyes and trying to keep the tears at bay. Jordan didn't even bother. He had tears running down his face the entire time. And it was clear that he had started crying before he got up there on the stage. And so then he brings this moment of levity when he says, "Great, he got me again." I'm paraphrasing. "There's going to be another crying me all over the internet." He said, I told my wife I wasn't going to do this because I didn't want to look at another crying Jordan meme for the next 2 to 3 years. Now, I didn't check to see if there were new crying Jordan memes. I would hope that there would be some type of respect and maybe that would not be something people would want to do. But then again, it's the internet. So you know how that goes. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. Good morning to you if you're waking up on your Tuesday. For many of you in the Los Angeles area, you're still awake on your Monday night. It was a long Monday. This memorial service started before noon, and people were wrapped around the building to get in. I'm not exactly sure how they did it. I suspect it was a first-come, first-served type of a thing. And they had a lot of members of the basketball community, friends of Kobe's, family members. And until she got up there on stage, we didn't know if Vanessa Bryant would make any comments. But to hear from her, I think, was more important and more poignant than anything else, including Michael Jordan, including Kobe, including Kobe's teammate, Shaquille O'Neal, and some of the others who spoke. It's good to hear from you on Twitter as well as Facebook, and know that many of you were watching in kind of the same mindset with the same tears that I was. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. It's easy. It was interesting to see some of the speculation about LeBron James. And I'm not criticizing him for not making a public appearance. He may very well have been at Staples Center in a place where people couldn't see him, where he wasn't going to be on camera. I mean, this is a guy who's already made some real public comments about Kobe and who we know had a relationship with Kobe Bryant. And he chose not to be a public face on Monday. And the Lakers didn't have a game. Anthony Davis was there in amongst the basketball players, and there were a lot of current and former Lakers who were sitting there on the floor, but no LeBron. And so I didn't spend a lot of time looking at people's reactions until now, actually, seeing what you've sent me on Twitter and Facebook. But for a guy who very often is using his platform to comment on different social issues, to even weigh in on politics, and someone who's already talked about what Kobe Bryant meant to him, according to his agent, and his business partner, Rich Paul. LeBron chose to, I think it was something about memorialize Kobe in his own space or to be in his own space during the memorial was how he put it. And he wouldn't confirm whether or not LeBron was inside Staples Center. So I don't actually know if he was there. I hope he doesn't get criticized for that. Of all things to get criticized for and of all days, there are probably a lot of people that, you know, that would prefer not to be on camera and something that's so private and emotions that, you know, can be private and yet they're on display for all the world to see. And there are some who don't care. You know, this is something that they would have done either way. But I don't know LeBron's thought process or why he made the choice that he did. But I did think it was interesting of all the you know, profile players in the NBA and certainly is one who's now a Laker and is leading their charge to try to get back to the NBA Finals and win another title. And I didn't even think about it, honestly. I was, you know, so focused on who was there until I saw, you know, just a bit of a piece of a storyline. It was in an article I was reading about, you know, from someone who was inside the memorial that there was actually talk that nobody really knew where LeBron James was. But he spends a good portion of his life in the public eye, so I can understand if this was something that he didn't want to do publicly. I can't even imagine being that much of my life in the public eye or carrying that kind of you know, responsibility where you know someone is always watching. It's, I'm sure, exhausting at times. And yet, you compare that to Kobe, and Kobe did it well early in his career. It was about Kobe, right? So early in his career, it was about being the greatest and being the Mamba and leading the Lakers to championships and being the alpha male. But then later in his career, he became more supportive. He started to pass on what he had learned, almost like he was a Jedi who's taking instructions from Yoda, to pass on the things that he had learned. And he did that well in the later stages of career and after he retired. And so there was two phases, I feel like, to Kobe Bryant. And his kinder, gentler side really came out after he got injured and had to start missing games. And for the first time in his career, wasn't able to dominate on the court. And I think that changed him. I think it changed him a lot. And he, as much as he had his fingers in so many different business ventures, and as much as he was still a very public figure that people wanted a piece of, he did things like take his girls to school and show up an hour and 20 minutes early to pick them up and hung out with his friends and his friends' kids, and they had play dates, and they had, you know, they did stuff like go to the grocery stores. I've heard some stories from neighbors or, you know, people who lived in his same community where they would run into him in the grocery store picking up his own groceries. I mean, there are people in my neighborhood that don't even pick up their own groceries. And so, it's kind of cool to see that side of Kobe Bryant and then to hear more about it during the memorial service on Monday. That was the part that I appreciated most. And coming up next hour, we'll let you hear from Vanessa Bryant as well as from Shaquille O'Neal. He told a couple of funny stories that, in addition to Jordan laughing about the memes, really got a big roar from the crowd. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Basketball games actually took place last night, and I'm uber impressed with guys like James Harden, who had to leave Staples Center and fly to a game. And so that was, that was something that he chose to do. He said he had to be there because of the impact Kobe made on his career. But also, the Clippers had to turn around and play inside Staples Center. And they had this three-game losing streak, and they ended up getting a big victory. But to hear from Doc Rivers, who was there at the memorial service, and then, you know, had to kind of flip his brain back into coaching mode. I mean, there's a challenge to that as well.
This morning was sensational. It really was. It'll be something that I'll remember. I just thought the spirit in the arena this morning was beautiful.
He called it cathartic. so that it could have a real healing power to it. And that's true. It's definitely true. I mean, it's a rare thing to see a memorial service this long after the tragedy. So it's been a month. And a lot of the sports world had started to get back to some semblance of normalcy, whatever normal is for sports and teams this time of the year. You know, we're inside of 2 months until the NBA playoffs. We've got not even 3 weeks until Selection Sunday, Selection Monday. And so a lot of these basketball figures had to depart and had to go back to their jobs. And that included, as mentioned, James Harden, but also Sabrina Ionescu, who spoke at the memorial, the Oregon point guard who made history on Monday night, became the first D1 player, men's or women's, to score 2,000 points, to amass 1,000 assists, and pull down 1,000 rebounds in her career. And she's not done, obviously. The Oregon Ducks are on a bit of a mission to finish what they started last year and getting so close to winning an NCAA title. But she was great. And it was kind of cool. I don't know if you've seen the video that's out there of her teammates. So she had to then get on a plane and fly to the Bay Area where Oregon was taking on Stanford. And her teammates were back at shoot around on Monday morning and were watching her give her speech on a laptop inside the gym. So that was kind of cool to see the photos and the videos of her teammates gathered around and listening to her as she spoke about the friendship with Kobe Bryant that was so unexpected, and also having the opportunity to help coach Gigi's team once or twice. I thought that was really cool. But she had an incredible game, another triple-double, the 26th in her college career, if you can believe that. The 26th triple-double as a female in her college career. And also pretty amazing to see what Bradley Beal did. And he talked about Kobe Bryant after he scored 55 points and has gone over 50 in back-to-back games. And, you know, he was someone that wanted to talk about Kobe when it was over.
His legacy will live on forever, you know, and I think one thing that I've learned to respect and learning about, you know, the death of Kobe is, you know, it's not about how many points I score, it's not about how many All-Star games I make, it's not about how many All-NBA teams I make, because at the end of the day, when I'm gone from here, you guys aren't going to remember that, nor are you going to care. And I feel like that's how we feel with Kobe.
Yeah, it makes a good point. These stat lines, they're so impressive at the time, they won't be remembered outside of a few here and there. Even months down the road, they become just part of the big wheel, the rotating wheel of impressive performances. In fact, he's a great example of that. One night after scoring what was a career-high 53, then he goes for 55. And significant to him, but as he points out, you know, you get a few months down the road, a couple of years down the road, and that's not what people remember about you. Very rarely is it the one performance. Yeah, if there's something really significant, maybe on the championship stage, it might be something people talk about, but what lasts is the impact that you have on people and the way that you use your platform, and I like that he pointed that out. So not every member of the NBA community could be there inside Staples Center. The Wizards ended up losing to the Bucks, so the Bucks continue to pad that lead atop the Eastern Conference. All right, we've got our final hour straight ahead here, and we want you to hear from Shaquille O'Neal and from Vanessa Bryant, who, according to our Lakers insider, no one really knew if she would speak on Monday. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.